Hello, I'm Drew McDaniel, and I'm here to present another AzureCon session. This one, we're going to cover enterprise applications on Azure IaaS. I'm a principal program manager. I've been with the Azure team since we started the infrastructure service about 3 years ago. And we'll dig into how the enterprise applications have some special needs within Azure and how Azure fills those. First off, Azure has a large number of services available. And so in this presentation, we'll be talking through a set of the core infrastructure services from the virtual machines, the storage components. We'll look at both standard storage, what's listed here is blob storage and premium storage, as well as our virtual networking functionality. So the virtual network, the load balancers, and the VPN gateways. In addition to that, we'll be looking at the management functionality provided by the Azure portal, the Azure store and marketplace, specifically around virtual machines, and finally, the set of image galleries available within Azure. Now, enterprise applications are the applications that are designed for solving an enterprise-level solution. These applications are typically managing large data sets or being accessed by a large number of individuals. So they have the specific needs of high performance, high reliability, and scalability. I mean, these are your critical applications. They must be very reliable and scalable for a large enterprise. As well, these applications often need to integrate with other services, specifically things like identity, whether that's Microsoft Azure Active Directory or Active Directory on-premises. These applications need to have that level of integration. So through the session today, we're going to walk through and show how Azure checks all of the boxes for running your enterprise applications. Now, to jump in, we're going to take a look at a set of the applications that are pre-configured within Azure and available for you to use. So what we're going to do is we're going to start up with the Azure portal. Now, this is the Azure preview portal. There's a current portal that you may see if you first log in. Navigate to the preview portal, and you will see the functionality we'll be looking at today. This portal is the place where we've invested, and you'll see our marketplace. You'll see our premium storage show up here and our Azure Resource Manager. So most of the components that we'll be talking about today are available through the Azure preview portal. Now, as I mentioned, there's a set of applications, and we can dig in directly to the marketplace here. And we'll look at the set of applications available for compute usage. Now, if we go down, we will actually see a set of applications, a wide array of applications, but specifically, we'd like to focus on a couple of these. Specifically, we'll look at the Azure certified applications. So these are applications, both first-party and third-party applications, that have gone through certification, testing, and validation. So we see here Dynamics AX, an ERP solution, as well as some third-party solutions that are available in the Azure marketplace. In addition, there's a set of databases. So if we look at this, we have, of course, the typical that you would expect to see from Microsoft of SQL Server, but we also have Oracle Database for running your Oracle workloads, as well as IBM DB2. And so you have a wide array of options within Azure to actually run your applications, your enterprise applications that you may need. Now, if we look at, we're going to walk through deployment of SQL Server. As we select SQL Server, we see a range of various different options from SQL Server 2008 on up to SQL Server 2012. And we'll just select the Enterprise SQL Server 2012 option here. This will take us through to the ability to configure the SQL Server instance. One thing of note here is the deployment model to use for your deployment. Now, there's a classic model, which is compatible with the previous generation portal, as well as there's a new model called the Resource Manager. Now, the Resource Manager deployment model enables new features and functionality. The Resource Manager model is only available within the Azure Preview portal, as well as PowerShell, cross-platform CLI, and the APIs. So if we were to deploy a machine, we just want to look at a little bit of the typical configuration that you would have for deploying a machine like SQL. So the first thing that was set up is the host name. So we'll just put this as the demo SQL machine, a username and a password, And then we get into some of the Azure-specific things. First, we'll look at the pricing tier. Now, the pricing tier, I want to note that you will see some of the virtual machine sizes have this S in the name. So D is the series of virtual machines. These virtual machines use local SSD. But if the S is in the virtual machine name, it signifies that's optimized for premium storage. Applications like SQL Server, you want to leverage premium storage, which is based on SSD for the high availability and high performance that you would expect. If you click View All, we'll see the full set of VM sizes that are available for this workload. So here we see a size without the S, and this uses our standard storage as compared to using premium storage. We'll talk a moment about the G series of virtual machines and how they differ from our D series, as well as the A series virtual machines. Now, the A series virtual machines, typically those are used for a dev test environment or smaller workloads. Enterprise class applications, you may not want to use the A series of VMs. They're a little bit slower than the D series. There's no local SSD, and so the performance is just a little bit below the typical D series. So for SQL, we'll just take the recommendation of a DS4, which is a machine that has 8 cores, 28 gigabytes of RAM. We click Select here. Then next, we want to look at a set of the optional configurations, network, storage, and diagnostics. Within here, one of the first things we want to point out is the diagnostics. You will often want to configure diagnostics for your enterprise application so you can actually dig in and see what's going on with those, get some performance monitoring. These will store within a storage account. We'll just go ahead and OK and take the default. Endpoints are what expose the virtual machine to the internet. So we'll talk a little bit how you'd use the virtual network, and over time, you probably want to put your database behind the virtual network and not expose it to the internet. For this demo, we would actually start off, we'd actually use the remote desktop port to expose that and connect through it to the demo. You could then remove these if you were going to not use these for your ongoing application. And again, you can change these after you have deployed. We'll go ahead and just take that default configuration. Next, we want to look at the extensions. Now, within Azure, an extension is the ability to deploy a piece of code or script to your virtual machine that has been provided by Microsoft or other third parties. So if we look at this, we'll look at the add an extension. And there is a large number of extensions from things like automation extension. This is desire state configuration that leverages PowerShell. Two solutions that do things like configuring anti-malware. So for this one, being an enterprise application, we really want to have the anti-malware configured. It'll take us to a page to configure anti-malware as we want. For this purpose, the defaults are going to be fine. We're just going to take those defaults, click this. And now we've got that extension already configured and ready to go. Now, we'll also, being that it's a SQL Server, there's one other piece to look at here, is automated patching. Now, for your applications, if you are deployed and your applications are managed via a system like Windows Update Services, then you can leave automated patching disabled and let the external systems manage that. However, if you do not have one of those in place, you can enable automated patching. This controls the patching cadence for the application software within the virtual machine. And so you can configure that as you want. Again, the defaults work fine for this configuration. Click OK. Take that configuration. And then the last thing is we'd select a location. In this case, we're actually going to deploy it into US West. And clicking Create here would go and create that virtual machine. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, I wanted to dig in a little bit more about our VM sizes. So if we look at the set of sizes here, we want to look at this G series of virtual machines. Now, the G series of virtual machines specifically are G5. This machine has 32 cores, 448 gigabytes of RAM, a large number of local SSDs that can deliver a very strong I/O performance for that virtual machine, and it also supports our premium storage. We're going to take a look at this machine in a little more detail and really show what it can do for you. So with this, we're going to move over, and here I've got a machine that's been deployed. This is our G-series virtual machine. This is a GS5 that's configured with 32 cores. It's also configured with the latest Haswell-based processor, the Intel Xeon V3. This is our Haswell-based processor that powers that app, the machine. In addition to that, we have configured 20 1-terabyte drives into a single storage pool of 20 terabytes that we will use to demonstrate the performance of the Azure premium storage. So with this drive, we've actually put those together. It's a simple stripe. And we're going to use a tool called IO Monitor or Iometer to measure the performance of the system. We're going to start with is doing 8K small IO to show the overall IOPS that you can achieve with the GS5 and premium storage. So here we're going to hit the machine. This is our F drive. Again, this is a single volume across those 20 individual premium storage disks. And we're going to hit it with an access specification that is 90% read, 10% write. This is a very typical pattern for a enterprise data warehouse application. So if we're going to kick this off, and what we want to look at here is the IO operations per second. This is kind of the key thing when you're doing these database operations. And in fact, we'll bring this up in a nice speedometer and zoom in here. And we see that we are getting over 100,000 IO operations per second. This is well and beyond the any capability that you can see in any other public cloud provider. Almost double, in fact, what most public cloud providers are able to provide at over 100,000 IOPS for a low-sized IO. Now, that's great for your database transactions, for committing that to disk. However, sometimes you actually need a large amount of throughput. So this may happen when you're backing up your database, reading a large amount of data for a data warehouse. And so we're going to stop this simulation. And now we're going to move to a different simulation that's going to validate our throughput and show our throughput. So bringing up that same tool, bringing up Iometer, but here we're going to change the access specification. This is more of a throughput demo. And what it does is it uses larger IO, so 256 KB IO, to really maximize the throughput and test the throughput. This is actually doing 100% write operation, and so all of the IO is going to our back-end persistent storage. And we want to see what kind of throughput we're able to get with this configuration. Now, with this one, our focus is going to be on the total megabytes per second that is being sent to over the network and committed to disk. So again, we'll bring up the speedometer. And here we'll see that we are getting over 1,600 megabytes per second. Again, well beyond any other cloud provider and what they can provide in throughput. And so as you can see, this machine, the GS5 with premium storage, has the capability to run the largest applications that you want to throw at it. In addition, just as a point here, this is actually doing the write throughput, writing to the SSDs that are used for caching. If the operation was using purely writes and no reads against that, you could turn the disks to be no caching, and this number will actually go up to about 2,000 megabytes per second. So again, very, very high performance system that you have within Azure for these applications. Finally, we want to show just a few more. We've actually looked at the different types of applications available that are in the marketplace. A few items we wanted to call out here as well for applications like SAP. We on the Azure portal will describe how to run SAP within Azure. This is something that we've done with SAP to ensure that the performance and the reliability is as expected. In addition, there's a KB article that we have, a knowledge base article that walks through the set of applications that are available and fully tested on Azure. These are a set of Microsoft applications from BizTalk, Dynamics, CRM, Dynamics AX, and just a long line of applications that have been tested and validated by those product teams to run efficiently on Azure. These are effectively our Microsoft applications that are certified for Azure. Okay, with that, we're going to return back to the PowerPoint. Now, we've talked about the hardware. We've talked about what you can bring to Azure to use for just the overall power. But with these applications, you also need to be looking and thinking about both security and connectivity. So what we want to look at is how you configure the security for the applications leveraging the Azure networking capabilities. So whenever you're running an application, an enterprise application within Azure, you typically want to run that in a virtual network. The virtual network allows you to configure a software-defined network to configure your subnets, your DNS services, configure how you want in there, your private IP addresses, public IP addresses, if you want to have that available to the internet. In addition to that, you can configure what's called a gateway. Now, the gateway is like a VPN device that's in your Azure virtual network and allows you to connect machines into that Azure virtual network. So here we're showing what's called a point-to-site connectivity. So we have one machine connecting back to the gateway and into Azure. But more typically what you'll have, especially with these kind of applications, is what we call a site-to-site connectivity. And here you see we've replaced that individual machine with a VPN device. That VPN device could also be Windows Server or running the routing remote access protocols. But this establishes a virtual private network from the on-premises location to Azure running in a secure and encrypted channel over the internet between the two. Now, as I mentioned, that is going over the internet. It is highly secure, but it is over the internet, and you have latency that can build up in the internet. Bandwidth can sometimes be a challenge. And so you can further configure this with what we call an express route connection. What an express route connection does is it leverages a telecom provider like an AT&T or Verizon, or you can use a co-location provider like Equinix to actually connect over a private network from your on-premises or your co-location into Azure. This allows for even greater bandwidth and lower latency between Azure and your environment, either on-premises or in a co-location provider. The next thing you typically need to think about is how you're going to secure the application. Now, here we're showing the front-end subnet. That would be your set of machines operating on the front end. That's connected to the internet through a load balancer. And you would want to configure a network security group to secure which applications, which IP addresses can connect into that virtual machine. The backend subnet, this is where you may be running your database. Again, using a network security group, you can configure the security between the front end and the back end. And then as you'll see here, the backend subnet would not need to have access to the internet. And this allows you to have a very highly secure environment. Now, to show what that looks like, we want to actually do a little demo showing an Azure virtual private network set of VNet and an on-premise environment and showing that connectivity. So again, we're going to come back into our Azure portal. Now here, what we want to do, we're going to just come back to the base here. And I've got a set of machines already configured that simulate the virtual network connecting. So we've got an on-prem VM. This is in Azure, but we're simulating an on-premise environment. And then we have an Azure VNet. So this is simulating the Azure VM. Each of these, if you look at these, are in a virtual network. So here we've got a VNet demo, which is the Azure virtual network for the VM. And then the one simulating on-premises, we have a on-premise VNet. Now, what these look like, and so here's the actual machines. I'll switch over here. So I've got two machines. So the first one here, the Azure machine, showing it's running in Azure in the clouds. And then on-premise machine here, it's actually setting in your office, in your building, or in your data center. And we've configured those virtual networks to connect over the gateway. And so what that means, if we come and look at the Azure VM, and let's just look at the IP address of the VM. And as you see here, so the Azure VM is at IP address 10.1.0.4. Now, if we go and then connect into our on-prem VM, and we will actually see, let's see, can we actually just hit that directly over our network 10.1.0.4? And you can see we have full IP address connectivity between those machines. The ping is working. This is actually going over the Azure network. And so we're seeing between West US and East US a latency of about a little under 50 milliseconds. So this is pretty good. This is running over the Azure network because here we're simulating this. We're actually running within two virtual networks within Azure. If on-premises was on your premise, then it's going to go over the internet and the latency is going to depend on the distance from your location to the Azure data center. And so if we see here, we actually on the Azure VM, we've got a file set up here, Azure VM. This is a VM in Azure. And if we switch to the on-premise VM, and again, hit it through the standard IP address that we'd set before, 10.1.0.4, and the drive was shared as C, we actually see that file in the folder. So again, you can leverage Azure as if it is just a remote data center using the VPN connection and the gateway functionality. You can connect on-premises to Azure in a very seamless way so that you can run these applications. You can connect into your on-premises Active Directory or other services as required. Now, the final piece we want to cover today is the Azure Resource Manager. If you remember when we started our demo, there was classic virtual machines and Resource Manager virtual machines. Azure Resource Manager was just released earlier this summer, and we're going to go through and show what power it brings to your virtual machines. Now, Azure Resource Manager manages resource groups. Resource groups, as it sounds, are a set of resources, virtual machines, databases, networks, that are put together and allow you to manage those different resources as one application. You can actually put tags on those applications, and those tags show up into the bill. And you can also do role-based access and control at the group level or the individual resource, again, to provide much more enterprise granular control to a set of users. And finally, the Azure Resource Manager is the interface that is consistent with what we have announced as part of Azure Stack that will be coming with an on-premise environment. Azure Stack allows you to have the consistent Azure and Azure on-premises experience leveraging the Resource Manager. Now, what the Resource Manager does, as I said, one of the pieces is role-based access control. Role-based access control allows you to set an action on a resource, where the resource is a subscription, a resource group, or an individual resource, and apply rights into that. A set of built-in roles like owner and contributor and reader are there already. And it allows that to be then inherited down from the directory to the subscription to the resource group. This is all based on Azure Active Directory. In fact, using Resource Manager uses Azure Active Directory for all aspects of it. But then Azure Active Directory can be synchronized to a Windows Server Active Directory on-premises, so you have that seamless experience from on-premises into Azure. Now, the model-based deployment allows you to define a template of your resources. You can then additionally set dependencies. So in this example here, we have a SQL database. It is going to deploy, and there's a website and also a set of virtual machines that are depend on that database. By providing this in an idempotent template to Azure, the Resource Manager will deploy these applications. It will read the dependencies and see that the SQL Server database must be deployed first. It'll deploy that, get the SQL configuration string, pass that to the website and to the virtual machine to deploy that up. It allows you to have configuration as code, allows you to put your template into a source control system and just deploy that into Azure or eventually Azure Stack in a very, very consistent manner. In addition to the template deployment, the entire service management API between Azure Resource Manager in Azure and Azure Stack is consistent. It allows you to leverage the consistent set of tools, the consistent portal, command line tools, Visual Studio, and other third parties that build upon the Azure Resource Manager model will work both within public Azure as well as Azure on-premises. So let's go take a look at what that looks like. So again, we'll come back into the portal. Now, what we want to do here is I want to show you a little bit of the options that have been created. And so under our community in the Azure portal, you can select templates. And it'll bring you to this page that has a large set of templates. These are the Azure Resource Manager templates that have already been uploaded and made available to you. Some of these are by Microsoft employees, as well as general community members. And we also have things, for example, from ISVs. So we actually see here that the GitHub Enterprise template that will deploy is from GitHub itself. These templates, and we'll look at one of these real quick. Let's look at SharePoint. SharePoint, we have an HA version of SharePoint as well as a 3VM SharePoint. And if we click into that, it provides an overview of this template. The template has a set of parameters that are configured for how to deploy SharePoint, where to deploy SharePoint, taking the passwords and those items. But the template themselves, if you actually were to follow this link here, leads to a GitHub repo that has all of these templates. And you can take these templates, you could modify them for yourself, you could modify them and submit a pull request back to extend those templates. It's a very flexible solution. But if you were to click Deploy to Azure, it'll launch that template into Azure, and you're going to end up in the portal looking like this. So what we've got here is the template that the portal has pulled from GitHub. This is that same template that was in GitHub. If you look through these templates, deploying SharePoint is a fairly complex operation. This takes all of that out of your hands. You don't need to worry about the intricacies of deploying SharePoint. The template in Azure Resource Manager orchestrates that deployment for you. All you need to do is come in and edit the parameters. And so if you look at these sets of parameters, we've got things like the SharePoint farm name, storage account name, location. And you go through and fill those out, things like the admin password. You can take the defaults for most of these. For example, we default to a premium storage VM at the D2 size. Or you can change these to any of a selected set that we'd recommended in that template. Once you've gone through that, you fill out the full set of parameters, click the legal terms, and launch this, and you will have a SharePoint deployment in Azure in just a few hours. So with this, we've shown the size of machines, we've actually shown the ability to create a template and use the enterprise networking functionality to actually connect on-premises to Azure. So as you can see, Azure really does check all of those boxes to allow you to run your enterprise class applications within Azure, getting high availability, high security, and high reliability. Thank you.